Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, it is so good to be back with all of you. We have missed church the last two Sundays because I got sick. And man, I miss being here with all of you. I just miss being here, being with God's people, and just being able to just worship. It's just a joy, and it's life-giving. And I know for me, when I miss that, it's draining. It was really draining for me not to be here with y'all. My name is John Simonson. I'm one of the pastors here at Foley United Methodist Church. And like I said, I am super excited to be back here. And I'm a little nervous because I haven't preached in a while. And I've been working on this sermon before I got sick. And now I have to try to remember what I started back then and today. But we're going to make it work, right? So this sermon started, actually, because I'm not smart. And my wife is a lot smarter than me, and she reads a lot of books. And she read me a quote. And this quote came from a book called Searching for Sunday by Rachel Held Evans. Pastor Bill is fantastic about slides, so I actually started trying to learn how to do that and made a slide, a couple. There should be a quote on the screen here next to me. There is a humming going on up here, if you can figure that out. It is a low bass hum. Make sure all the monitors are muted. So the quote is, "I often wonder the role of clergy in this age is not to dispense information or guard the prestige of their authority, but rather to go first, to volunteer truth about their sins, their dreams, their failures, and their fears, in order to free others to do the same." Try muting all the mics, like the Cajon mic. So this quote got me thinking. What does that mean? What if the preacher's job is not to get up here and dispense information and preach the best sermon, but what if the preacher's job is to get up here and be real with all of you? Many of you that I've talked to know that I still argue with God all the time about he chose the wrong person to be a preacher, but he continually chooses to put me up here, right? And I get to get up here and talk to y'all and try to figure things out as I go. But as I thought about this quote, I thought about church, and I said, what is church? What are we doing in church? Are we doing church the right way? And is this what church is really supposed to be? Because what do we do with church? And then I got to thinking, and I was like, what does Jesus say about church? What does Jesus say church is supposed to be? And what does he say about church? So I was thinking about all this, and I found this passage in Matthew 23 where Jesus is talking to the church, to the church leaders. So we're going to start there, and I'm going to read out of the Message Bible, Matthew 23, 1 through 12, out of the Message Bible. It should be on your screen if you want to follow along. It says, "Now Jesus turned to address his disciples along with the crowd that had gathered with them. The religion scholars and Pharisees are competent teachers in God's law. You won't go wrong in following their teachings on Moses, but be careful about following them. They talk a good line, but they don't live it. They don't take into their hearts and live it out in their behavior. It's all a spit and polish veneer. Instead of giving you God's law as food and drink by which you can banquet on God, they package it up in bundles of rules, loading you down like pack animals. They seem to take pleasure in watching you stagger under these loads and wouldn't think of lifting a finger to help. Their lives are perpetual fashion shows, embroidered prayer shawls one day and flowery prayers the next. They love to sit at the head of the table at church dinners, basking in the most prominent positions, preening in the radiance of public flattery, receiving honorary degrees and getting called doctor and reverend. Don't let people do that to you, put you on a pedestal like that. You all have a single teacher and you are all classmates. Don't set people up as experts over your life, letting them tell you what to do. Save that authority for God. Let Him tell you what to do. No one else should carry the title of Father. You have only one Father, and He's in heaven. And don't let people maneuver you into taking charge of them. There's only one life leader for you and them, and that's Christ. Do you want to stand out? Then step down. Be a servant. If you puff yourself up, you'll get the wind knocked out of you. But if you're content to simply be yourself, your life will count for plenty. So after I read that scripture, I read this quote. I've been thinking about what church is. Are we doing church right? What I really thought was, we have some kind of ideas about what church is supposed to be. It really came from this idea of implicit bias, this unconscious bias that we have. Things that we learn in our life, things that we grow up and they become a part of us that we don't even actually recognize they're there. I mean, just think about church as a whole. Think about church, what you think it is, how you're supposed to be here, how it is formed in us over our lifetime. It's a place where we are better. It's a place where we come to hear that we're better. It's a place that we show up and say, you know, okay, I'm living the right way. This is the way I'm supposed to be. This is how things are supposed to be, and this is how I'm supposed to live. I'm here to learn a sermon. I'm here to have somebody tell me I'm doing a good job. I'm here because this is where I'm supposed to be, and I feel good being here. But is that right? Is that what Jesus says? Is that what Jesus talks about in this passage? And I promise I'm going to get back on track here in just a second. I think the first thing that Jesus does in this passage is really point out that we know the rules and we know the laws and we know how we're supposed to live. But that's a distraction for us. Because what happens is we get so focused on that that we forget to live and be who we are. If you look at this next quote, I believe it's from Rachel Evans as well. Somebody read that first line to me. Okay. I don't see it in the back, so I don't know which one it is. But it says, in my struggle to find church, I often felt that if I could just find the right denomination or the right congregation, or if I could just become the right person or believe in the right things, then my search would be over at last. How many times do we feel that about church? That our search is to find a place that makes us feel good, our search is to find a place that we fit in, our search is a place, or our search is to find this life that's comfortable, that makes us happy, that makes us feel good about ourselves. But that's it. That's what we look for. And we think if we can find that, we'll be satisfied. If we think if we can find that, we'll be good. We think that if we can just find this comfortable zone to live in, that things will be just fine. And we can live our entire lives like that, and there's nothing more that we have to search for. There's nothing more that we have to seek after. That is the life we're looking for. But she continues and says, but what if right's got nothing to do with it, and waiting around for right will leave you waiting around forever? Because the church is not supposed to be this place where we just find a comfortable living. The church is this place where God says, hey, wait a second. I'm going to throw a banquet, and I want all these mismatched, messed up people to come around, join together, and look, here's some wine. Let's Let's be together as a different type of people. Let's not come together in this church to try to find a comfortable life. Let's come together to be real people and to be real with each other. I mean, if you think about it, that's really the gospel that Jesus preaches, right? Because Jesus didn't teach us to, hey, y'all get together in a group and live this life that's comfortable and be happy and follow these rules and try to do everything perfect. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to come together in a group and be real with each other. Because Jesus didn't go seeking the church, right? Jesus went seeking people. Jesus didn't hang out with the church people. Actually, Jesus' most harsh words were for the church people. Jesus actually sought to be with regular people. And that's the kind of group that he tried to always bring around himself. That's the kind of life he tried to exemplify for us. I think that's the kind of life that we have to live. This life that's not focused on finding a place that makes us comfortable and happy, not this place that makes us feel good about ourselves, but we have to focus on being this place that allows other people to come in and say, it's okay to be broken. It's okay to be different. It's okay not to be okay. It's okay not to feel good about yourself because we're all welcome here. I mean, I often wonder what Jesus talked about with the sinners that he ate with. How did that dinner go? When Jesus went and ate with the sinners and the church people were yelling at him and calling him crazy and saying he's going to hang out with these dirty, unwanted people, how did that dinner go with Jesus? What did they talk about? Did Jesus sit there in the midst of this little semicircle here and say, let me tell y'all how you're supposed to live your life? Let me explain to you how you can be happy. Let me explain to you what a good life is, what the right words to say are, how to act when you're in public, how to be attractive to your community, how to get other people to come and hang out with you on Sunday mornings. Do you think that's what Jesus was talking about? I think Jesus was just present with them and said, what's going on with you? How is your day going? What are you dealing with? What are you struggling with? What are some things that you fight with every day? I mean, you got the church out there yelling at you, saying you're a sinner. What are you dealing with? How does that make you feel? Let's share a glass of wine and some bread, and let's sit here and talk about it. And let me tell you about my day. My day was rough. I've been dealing with this. Do you know what they told me? Do you know what they're trying to do to me? I can understand what they're trying to do to you. I've been there. I'm here with you. I want to be present with you where you're at, and I accept you for who you are, how you are, where you are, and whatever you look like. I think there's so many times that we get caught up in the church that we don't know how to feel about ourselves because we're trying to do the right thing. We want to be this attracted model. We want people to come in here and be happy and enjoy being with us. But do we really want people to be themselves? Do we really want people to be real and authentic with us? Or do we want them to come in here with this spit and polish veneer on that Matthew talks about? Do we really want, I love this part of the scripture where Matthew says, instead of giving you God's law as food and drink by which you can banquet on God, think about that. Instead of giving you this God's law as food and drink on which you can banquet on God, so instead of the church giving this life, this word and this life that comes from God, saying you can find real life being real and authentic just in the very words of God by being who you are and recognizing that we accept you for who you are. Instead of doing that, we try to change people and say, you got to be this way and fit in with the culture and make sure you dress right, make sure you look right, make sure you talk right, make sure you say the right words. But I just don't see that being the message of the gospel. I don't see that being what we're called to do as the church. I think what we're called to do is to be the most authentic people we can be, to be the most real people we can be, and to let others do the same. And to create an environment where we throw open the doors and we say, there's no rules here. There's no expectations here. There's no understanding of who you have to be or how you have to act when you come in these doors. The only expectation here is that when you show up as yourself and you be real, because we're going to do the same with you. I love this other quote from Brennan Manning that says, when I get honest, I have to admit I am a bundle of paradoxes. I believe and I doubt. I hope and I get discouraged. I love and I hate. I feel bad about feeling good. And I feel guilty about not feeling guilty sometimes. I'm trusting and suspicious. I am honest and I still play games. And my favorite part is Aristotle said, I'm a rational animal. Brandon Manning says, I'm an angel with an incredible capacity for beer. 31. I mean, is that not just being normal? Is that not just being a person saying, look, I'm messed up. I'm messed up. I don't know everything. I don't know the right answers for everything. Yes, I'm happy, and yes, I love God, and yes, I love to seek after Him, but there's times that I doubt God. There's times I don't know God. There's times that I get lost. There's times that I get frustrated. There's times I just want to be an angel, but I want to drink some beer. There's times where I trust people, and I'm honest with people, and I'm authentic with people, and I'm real with people, but then there's times that I'm not. That I push people away, that I'm scared of people, that I try to block them out because they don't fit my expectations. I mean, isn't that who we are? Isn't that who all of us are? Isn't that who the church should be? Isn't that how we should represent ourselves in the community? Isn't it about being real and honest and authentic? It's not about putting ourselves up on a pedestal. I mean, that's what Matthew says the church does. We put ourselves up on a pedestal. We like to look good, embroidered shawls and flowery prayers. We like to say things the right way. But we do that and we scare people away. We don't allow people to be real. Jesus didn't seek after the fake. Jesus sought after the real, the hurt. I mean, where did the church start? I'm just messing up the orders now. Where did the church start? Is the next quote from Nadia Bowles Weber that says, I've never understood. I've never understood how Christianity became quite so tame and respectable. Given its origins among drunkards, prostitutes, and tax collectors. Jesus could have hung out with the high-end religious scene of his day, but instead he scoffed at all of that, choosing instead to laugh at the powerful, befriend whores, kiss sinners, and eat with all the wrong people. He spent time with people for whom life was not easy. And there, amid those whom were suffering, embodied perfect love. Think about that. Is that not how the church started? How did the church become what it is? How did this unconscious, implicit bias that we have, these ideas about what church is supposed to be, you remember sitting in the pews getting thumped in the back of the head when you said something or did something. You remember having to dress up and wear ties and be a certain way because that's how we grew up. But how did the church turn into that when it started in the midst of a woman at a well? When it started when Jesus sat down and ate with sinners? When it started, when Jesus came together with a group of people and said, hey, I want to live life with you. I want to show you what life can be here and now when we can live together as the kingdom of God. There's another quote that I didn't make a slide for, but it says the kingdom of God is not for the worthy. The kingdom of God is for the hungry. Hungry for what? Hungry for food or hungry for life? Hungry for something, somebody to accept them, somebody to see them, somebody to spend time with them and say, you are worthy. You are loved. You are seen. How many people in this world don't know if they're seen or not? And how does the church address that? Does the church only choose to see those who fit a mold? Who are worthy enough? Or do we as a church say we're going to see everyone around us? And we're going to create a space where those people can come and be seen and be known and share a meal with us and have a place at a banquet. I mean, that's the Jesus we know. That's the Jesus that we're supposed to imitate and follow. I mean, if that's where church started, how did we end up where we are now? How did we end up with this idea that we're supposed to get up here and I'm supposed to give this amazing lesson and sermon? And if that's what you came for, then today's you just had a bad day today, right? But how did we get to this point? That this is what church is supposed to be? No, church is supposed to be where we can come together and be real with each other. Where I can say, look, I don't know everything. It's been a rough week. I still got COVID brain. I'm still trying to, I don't know if I'm in the right place or not. But hey, I'm here. I love y'all. I see y'all. I think you're perfect. You know? And whoever walks in the door, if we can create that atmosphere, isn't that the church that Jesus created? Isn't that who he told us to be? Isn't that what he says when he says, get down off your high horse? If you really want to make a difference in this world, if you really want to make a difference in this world, you know what you need to do? Don't preach at people. Don't tell people how to be. Don't tell people who to be and the right way to be. Just be you. Be broken. Drink a beer with somebody. Talk to somebody like they talk to you. Don't be afraid to say something that sounds wrong. Just be you. Because you're plenty. Because my grace is sufficient for you. I love you. You're perfect. I made you perfect. I think I got one more quote on there. See, I did 5 slides. That's what I'm talking about. I mean, I was on it. There's this thing called grace, right? We know it. We talk about it all the time. We can define it. The church defines it for us, right? It tells us what grace is. It says it's this amazing thing that makes you feel great. But is that really grace? This amazing thing that makes you feel great, is that the grace that we really want? Is that the grace that we really talk about? Because the thing about real grace, according to Nadia Bowles Weber and this book, Accidental Saints, which I haven't read all of it. I've read some quotes. I'll let Jenny read. Like I said, I'm not smart. However, I will warn you, I had to change a word in here because I have a church bias where I say, oh, I can't say a bad word in church. So I had to change a word in here. She does not change the words in her book. So if you read it, be ready. But it's okay, I promise you, because she's just being real. But she says the thing about grace, real grace, is that it stings. It stings because if it's real, it means we don't deserve it. Think about that. Jesus says, you can be you. And even though you don't think you deserve my love, I'm going to love you anyway. And I'm going to sit down and eat dinner with you anyway. And I'm going to meet you at the well, and I'm going to pick you up when you're blind. I'm going to meet you right where you're at, because you are worth it and you're perfect. And that's the kind of grace that the church needs to make sure we offer everyone. This grace that stings because we don't deserve it. And really, it's the crappiest feeling in the world, but it's the best crappiest feeling in the world. Because we know it's real. And we know that Jesus is here. And we know that Jesus just wants us to create a place where other people can find that same grace, where other people can find that life that only comes from Him. It doesn't come from a church. It doesn't come from an organization. It doesn't come from this ideal that we've created. What it comes from is a life we live and a life we create in this wall, within these walls. If we want to do church right, if we want to be the church that Jesus calls us to be, we have to let go of the pretense of who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to look and how we're supposed to act. And we have to begin to be real and authentic. And we can't be afraid to say what's so for us. We can't be afraid to step down off these expectations and pedestals and just throw open the doors and say, all who are hungry, all who are seeking, all who want to find life, come inside. We're here. We will sit with you, and we will walk with you, and we will talk with you, and we will get to know you, and we will accept you, because we are all the same. We are all the same, and we're all trying to figure it out. Come figure it out with us. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for today, grateful for the fact that we are not perfect. Grateful for the fact that we can be messed up. Lord, we're grateful for the truth that the church is not a place to be perfect or to do the right thing or to say the right thing. Lord, we're grateful that you don't seek after a place. You don't seek after a attitude or a way of being. Lord, we're grateful that you seek after us. And you just ask us to be real. So, Lord, we come to you real today and say, see us. Use us. Walk among us. Show us how to live your life. A life of love and grace and mercy and a life of just being present with people. Seeing people for who they are. Building this kingdom of God, not a kingdom of worthiness, but a kingdom of just people hungry for you. Lord, we want revival. We pray for revival, but what does that look like? How does that change us? How does that change how we act? Lord, lead us, guide us, use us. We give ourselves wholly, as broken, as normal people. In Jesus' name, amen.